Now let's continue on in Matthew 18. Now let's see how Christ looks at this. Verse 18 becomes very important, and there are many principles we can get out of this verse. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on the earth will have already been loosed in heaven." Okay? In other words, we go by the word of God, which gives us the binding and the loosing. If we come and solve a problem and forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration, God binds it. If it is that there is not reconciliation, that it cannot be solved, and you have to go to the extreme thing with it, then God will bind that, see? Because that's the procedure that he has set. Now, then he says this, "I say to you that if two of you on earth shall agree concerning any matter that they wish to request, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven." Very simple. You agree to forgive one another, it's done. You agree on certain terms to buy and sell something, then follow through and do it. Okay? God will bind it. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5 concerning our yes and our no? Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything more than that is from the wicked one. Right? Yes. See, this is how then we develop the mind of Christ. Not just the word of God going in, but the practice of the word of God going out and interrelating with each other in our life. And then being with each other becomes a joy. Sabbath becomes something you look forward to. Sabbath becomes a time of learning and loving and serving and giving. And this is what God wants. The world out there is plenty bad enough. And the world is going to come crashing in plenty soon enough. So we need to learn to love each other. And that's what Jesus said. And the only way you learn to love each other is learn how to solve your problems. See? If you never learn how to solve your problems, have you learned to love? No, you've learned to be dismissive. See? So then, Peter came, said to him, verse 21, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" Now, Peter probably thought he was being pretty generous at seven times. Now, this may be some small thing, obviously it's not a big thing, it's not an expensive thing, okay? Jesus said, "I do not say to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now what does that picture? That pictures God's mercy and grace to us, does it not? Do we not every day ask God to forgive us our sins? Yes. We should also ask God with the washing of the water of the word to cleanse our mind. Now, some things cannot be entirely removed, but you can forget and clean out of your mind the emotional impact, the bitterness, the hatred, and those things can be removed from you. Now, think about the Apostle Paul. When he was Saul, what was he doing? Persecuting the church, hauling him off to prison, taking him to the high priest, consenting to the death of Stephen, correct? Now, after he was called and had all of his sins forgiven, he had a lot he had to forget. And one of them was the indelible memory of watching Stephen being stoned. Now, how could you use that in a positive way if you had experienced that like Saul did, who became Paul? You use that as a motivation to serve, to forgive, to preach, to teach, to never give up. Likewise, for the indelible things that you go through, ask God to help them to be forgotten. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Hold your place, Matthew 18. We'll be back. Let's come to Philippians 3. Now, I covered this somewhat during the days of unleavened bread, so we're just going to review it here a little bit. But this becomes important to grasp, okay? So that you do not cling to the things in the past. They're not going to come back. They are not going to be improved by your dwelling upon them. Look at it this way. Simplest way to look at it. You drink a glass of water. Can you drink that glass of water again? No, it's gone. Nothing you can do about it. Same way with a situation that is something that you had to walk away from. Couldn't be resolved. Couldn't be redeemed. Someone really did something to you on the job or personally to you in your life, or your neighbor did this or whatever it may be, and you couldn't resolve it. So you've got this in your mind. Now, the Apostle Paul had a lot of those things. And he had a lot of things that he considered were good, that were considered lawful, that were considered official. But notice what he says here. Let's pick it up in verse 3. Philippians 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision. Remember, he had all the traditions of Judaism to repent of. He had all the persecution of the church to repent of. He had the obedience to the high priest to repent of. He had his political access, climbing in Judaism ahead of many of the fellows that were of his own age and contemporaries of the time. All the striving, all the lifting up, all the things that he thought was good. So he says, we are the circumcision who serve God in spirit and rejoice in Christ and do not trust in the flesh. That is the physical things. See, it doesn't matter what a person's personality is. If they're not converted, they have a good personality. But they're not converted. See? And what if they're converted and don't have a good personality? Love them. Help them. Encourage them. See? That's what God wants. And you see, what's also important is this. We all want God to accept us, don't we? And even the Protestants do. They have the song, you know, just as I am. Well, God doesn't want you just as you are. That's why he's called you to change, see? But everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone wants to be loved. And if you can't find it in the church of God, where are you going to find it? Is that true? Yes, indeed. Okay. He said, I had a lot to trust in. I more. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, race of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, respect to law, a Pharisee, zeal, persecuting the church, righteousness, blameless. But notice, even the things that were gain. So I call your attention to the things that you've gone through in different churches of God. Even the things that seem to be of gain maybe were tainted with so many things of men and authority and harshness that it took away from it. But notice what he said. Yet the things that were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. But then truly I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. Pile of manure. What are any of those things going to be compared to eternal life? You can't. So then to be found in his righteousness, to know the power of his resurrection. Verse 10, he says, I haven't attained, but verse 13, this is what needs to be. Brethren, I do not count myself as having attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth to the things that are before. I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's how we can be perfect-minded, see? All right? Now, that's what we need to do when we have circumstances like we're discussing here in Matthew 18. Now then, come back here to Matthew 18 again. Then he gives a parable of the man who owed 10,000 talents and was forgiven. And rather than being grateful and running out and saying, I've been forgiven, I'm going to forgive everyone that owes me something. What a great thing that would have been. No, he went out and said, you owe me 100 pence. Threw him in jail. Here's a principle that is true. Okay, he wouldn't listen to his pleadings. Okay. Now, verse 31, Now, when his fellow servants saw the things that had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went to their Lord, related all that had taken place. Then his Lord called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you implored me." He repented. Were you not also obligated? See, God works upon what is called reciprocity in many things. You love God, he loves you. Reciprocity. He forgives you, you forgive others. Reciprocity. God gives you everything for your physical life. You tithe and give offerings so that others may receive. That's reciprocity. Freely give because you've freely received. That's how God operates. That way, love is spread around, kindness is spread around, understanding is spread around, and we end up with fewer problems and difficulties because we're not holding something against anyone, see? Obligated to have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion on you. See, you can't get on your knees and say, "Lord, forgive me my sins," and then get up off your knees and say, "I don't forgive you." Can't do that. Go work it out. So here's what happened. In anger, the Lord delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that he owed to him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother's offenses from the heart. Okay? Now that's what God wants us to do. Let's see how we do it. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, alongside what we're going to do with Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I want you to put in there Colossians, the third chapter, because it says we are to have forbearance with one another. Okay? Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The reason that we have all of these things is for one goal. That is to attain to the kingdom of God. And we are actually in the school of eternal life, learning how to have the fruits of the Spirit, of God's Spirit, to lead us, to change, to grow, to overcome, to love one another, to forgive one another, to help one another. Now, as I was coming back from seeing Peter last night, here was this poor man standing there, right where the cars come to make the left turn lane, destitute. He had a little cardboard sign, and he really looked totally out of it from being destitute. Said, "I'm a vet, no job, I'm broke, I'm hungry, and here everyone is going by." I pulled up and it turned red, so I gave him a good amount of money, and he literally cried, took his sign, and said, "I could get out of here and get something to eat." And you could see that he must have been wounded because he had a limp. And he was very thin and gaunt. I hope that none of us get in a situation like that. But if that may be so, and living in this world, somebody's got to help him, right? See? And what did Jesus say? If you see your brother have need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, what is God going to do? Withhold from you. And that really got to me last night, okay? So here's what we are to do in the church of God. First of all, it talks about the ministry is to edify the church. That means every sermon, every teaching, everything is to edify, okay? To build up. You can always carry a club and beat people over the head, but you really don't get very much cooperation that way, do you? No. But God wants us to be inspired because he has called us, he's given us his Spirit. He wants us to be inspired by the teachings that the elders brings or whoever is teaching so that the whole body of Christ can grow. See? We've got all week to prepare for Sabbath. Then when we come to Sabbath services, now this becomes the greatest day of the week. We all learn more. We draw closer to each other. We love each other. We're concerned for each other. That is great. Okay? Now, we're also to grow up in things concerning the systematizing of the error and reject that. I'll talk about that in a bit. Okay? But here, verse 15. but holding the truth in love. Now, that's the truth of everything concerning God's way. As led by the Spirit of God, as motivated by the Spirit of God, as led by the Word of God, may in all things, now circle that word, all, see, okay, all things for eternal life, obviously, grow up into him who is the head, even the Christ. Not something. We're all to be continually growing, 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 growing. See? Just like that glass of water you drank, you can't drink it again. But you need one tomorrow. Maybe one a little later today. Okay? But whatever it is you use each day, you use each thing, you use each situation, use each difficulty that comes along as an opportunity to solve it God's way and establish love and establish truth. See? So then he says here, well, the Gentiles, now let's continue verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed and compacted together by that which every joint supplies. God has a purpose for each one of us, and we all have an active part in the church of God, the body of Christ. According to the inner working and the measure of each individual parts, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. So not only are the teachers and things to edify the body of Christ, we're to edify each other. And if someone is down, you let them know I'm praying for you. If they have something they need help with, you can help them. If they need to be encouraged, give them a kind word. See? Now, here's what it's going to do. Let's come right back here to the first chapter, and let's read the first three verses here. Okay? Here's what God wants. Now, think about this. It might help you go through and read the first verses of all the epistles of Paul. And he tells you right at the beginning what he wants for you, what God wants for you. So let's read it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2, grace and peace. Now, we're an active part of that grace and peace. Be to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God the Father and Jesus Christ are involved in our lives directly. Who begat you with the Holy Spirit? God the Father. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Who died for your sins? Jesus did. See, God is doing a great work in preparing for the kingdom of God. And we've got to see how we fit into this. And it is fantastic, see? So therefore, let's have between us all the time grace and peace, because it comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what flows with that. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Okay? Now, how do we affect this in our daily lives? All right? Let's come here to chapter 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That concerning your former conduct, now that may have been the big mistake you made yesterday, you know, put off the old man. We are responsible for identifying with the Spirit of God the way of sin within us to change and grow and overcome, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And the more we know, the more we understand, the more slick Satan is with his deceivings. He's not going to deceive you on the Sabbath. But if he can get you angry, prince of the power of the air, if he can disturb the church, we'll talk about other ways that it is disturbed in just a little bit. Okay? Verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's why there's repentance and renewal and redemption and reconciliation. It says in Psalms 103 that God forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases and puts them as far away from us as the east is from the west. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we all desire? Then likewise, we need to solve our own problems between each other in the same way. Want our sins forgiven? Never remembered again? Well, then if you have difficulties, resolve the problem and forgive one another and love one another. That's what God wants. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that you put on the new man. So this is our participation through love and free choice. This is where prayer and study and daily behavior all come together, right here. Which according to Christ is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. See, God is creating this in you. You see, when you get old, you get gray, and you get weak, and you get withered, God loves you and delights in you. See? God knows you may become forgetful in memory. God knows you may be weak. God knows that you may be hard of hearing. God knows that one day your body's going to shut down. He designed it down. See? Now this is why we are to love each other. Not judge one another. Not condemn one another. Not be angry with one another. Now if those things come up, then we know how to solve them. See? Now let's continue with it here. See? So here's how you do it. Verse 25, therefore let each one put away lies and speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. When you become angry, do not sin. Try that, see. Do not sin. That means don't be bitter, don't be resentful, don't have hatred. And if you're angry and you need to work it out with a brother or sister, you go do it. Next he says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Best advice that could ever be. I've had restless nights, sleepless nights, mulling things over in my mind, reliving things. Women do this a lot with their children. Where are they? What are they doing? How are they doing? Well, if I was just there, you're not there. Well, if I could just help them. Well, you're a long way away, see. Don't let the sun go down on your problems. Pray about it before you go to bed and leave it with God, because no worry ever, ever cured a problem. If it's beyond your ability to do something, pray that God will do something. Because verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Do you suppose that within the churches of God, the devil has had a hayfield? Yes, he has. Don't give place to him. Go be reconciled. Let the one who stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands, working that which is good, that he may impart something to the one who does not have. Do not let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now take that for a challenge for a whole day. Okay. And in today's world, look, brethren, we have more to fight against than any other time in the history of the Church of God. We've got the world at the apex of its greatest. We have Satan at the apex of his ability to influence through technological means. But we also have the Spirit of God. We also have the Word of God. See? But that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not vex the Holy Spirit of God. Now, King James says grieved, and I think in when we first translated the Bible, we have grieved in there, but it is vex, and it means to frustrate. How do you frustrate the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is trying to lead you into doing the things that God wants, right? And you in carnality are working against it. See? Verse 30. Do not vex the Holy Spirit by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you together with all malice. I remember coming into church services, well, they're almost knocked down, drag out fights. That's not of God. Here's what we need to do. And be kind and tenderhearted with toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God has also in Christ forgiven you. And then in chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 become very important, because this tells us how we are to do it. Therefore, be imitators of God. Not become narcissistic and a god unto yourself, but let your behavior be patterned after the commandments of God in the way of God, you see? As beloved children, because God loves every one of us, see? And walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then he says, don't let any of these sins even exist, in deed or in thought, okay? I'll let you read the rest of chapter 5. Now, this is what is needed in the churches of God, in our lives. I need it in mine, as well as every one of us, correct? Yes, because we're all a work in progress, being created after the image of Christ. And that's what God is doing within us. So, brethren, if we can, let's see what we can do in our lives to change, to love one another, to help one another. And I don't know what it's going to be working with other people from other churches, but this is something that they really need. They really want. But some of them are so, how shall I say, confined by their leaders and unknowingly are treating their leaders more like God than what they should. And so they're kind of trapped in fear because they haven't known the love and grace of God. So when they come to us, brethren, let's make sure we can help them. Let's make sure that they can understand what God wants. And let's have, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace among us. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.